Good evening. This is Life Rattle, your story show. I'm your host, Lori Callis. Tonight, on Life Rattle number 1354, we feature three stories by new Life Rattle writer, Emily Mack. Emily Mack was born in 1995 in Hong Kong. She immigrated to Canada with her parents and her sister in 1997. Emily grew up in the GTA and remains strongly in touch with her Chinese heritage. She is currently working towards a Bachelor of Commerce degree while pursuing writing as a hobby. She likes to draw and bake. She also likes taking long walks, making breakfast in the morning, and watching horror movies. Emily Mack hopes to keep herself as happy as possible. Emily Mack writes like an old soul from a youthful perspective, fusing sophistication with innocence and fine writing with simplicity. Tonight's first story makes me want to be a child again. To talk your way out of school and cuddle under the blankets on a frosty morning, just for a little while longer, sounds like paradise. In this delicate portrayal of the relationship between a young girl and her mother. Let's listen now as Emily Mack reads her story, Cold, tonight on Life Rattle.
Cold by Emily Mack. I hear the car pull out of the driveway as Dad leaves for work. 15 more minutes to sleep, if I'm lucky. The book I read until 2 in the morning pokes out from under my pillow. My alarm clock reads 7:45. I snuggle deeper into my blankets. I don't want to waste a precious moment between waking up and getting up. I notice that my favorite toy, a worn-out Mickey Mouse with several replaced limbs, lies on the floor. I feel sorry for Mickey. When I reach an arm out from under the blankets to pick up the poor thing, I feel the cold air. I jerk my hand back under my blankets and press Mickey against my chest. Its faded plastic eyes feel ice cold on my warm cheek. I look out the window. The sky looks dark, bleak, uninviting. I imagine the world outside blanketed with white snow. The thought of leaving my soft, warm, cozy bed fills me with dread. I decide there is absolutely no way in the world I'm going to school today. I hear Mom climbing the stairs. She enters my bedroom dressed in a warm sweater and sweatpants. "Time to wake up now," she says. I mumble and go through the motions of slowly getting up. She treks back downstairs. When I hear her footsteps disappear, I sink back into the warmth. "I am not going to school today," I say to Mickey. He looks at me with his faded eyes. I stay in bed. My heart starts to thump faster than normal. I'm amazed at my own bravery. I've never done this before. I hear the front door close. My sister leaves for high school. Mom stomps back upstairs to my room. "Why are you still in bed?" "I don't feel so well today," I whimper and sigh. The irritable expression on Mom's face turns to one of concern. She feels my forehead and checks her own in comparison. "You don't have a fever," she says. "My head hurts." She gives me a troubled look. "Well, you've never been too good with the cold. Do you want to take the day off?" I try not to look too thrilled. "Okay," I whisper. She kisses me and Mickey on our heads and leaves my bedroom. Minutes later, I hear her talking on the phone. I sink back into hibernation and fall asleep. I wake up to blinding sunlight. I stretch. My stomach growls. I wrap my extra blanket around myself and reluctantly tiptoe out of my room. I usually forget to take my slippers upstairs, but today they wait obediently outside my door for me. I slip my cold, numb feet into their bright purple fuzz and make my way to the kitchen. "You're finally awake," Mom says brightly. "How are you feeling?" "A lot better," I reply, feeling some guilt. "I made you some congee. I'll heat it up for you." I blow on a spoonful of congee and swallow a little. I make a face. "It's too hot to eat," I say. I slide next to Mom on the couch. She wraps my blanket a little tighter around me and pats me on the head. I feel pampered. I bury my head into the lovely darkness of my blanket and peek out at her. Her breathing comforts me. I match mine to the rhythm of hers. We watch TV.
That was Emily Mack reading her story, Cold. Our second story presents a glum image of the supposed golden years. A long-suffering wife laments her lot in life beneath the watchful eyes of her husband's excessive collection of toy figurines. Let's listen now as Emily Mack reads her story, Faces, tonight on Life Rattle.
Faces by Emily Mack. My aunt staggers out of her bedroom dressed in an old t-shirt and gray sweatpants. I hold her frail arms and help her limp to the couch. She slumps down and looks up at me with one eye as her other eye twitches shut. Her eyebrows are buried deep between the wrinkles of her forehead, and her mouth is shaped in a permanent frown. I have to remind myself that she's not as old as she looks. Auntie's husband walks over. Sweat drips down his pug-like face and darkens a black Avengers t-shirt that stretches over his protruding belly. He rubs his forehead with a large hand. "Will you guys be okay for a second?" he says. I need to go to the store." "Sure." I eye the cigarette pack in his hand. "We'll be fine." "The herbs," he suddenly shouts. "I need to buy the herbs for the medicine. You need anything else?" Auntie shakes her head no. He turns and lumbers out the door, fingers playing with coins in his pocket. I cross my legs and pick off lint stuck to my socks. I look out the window at black wires crisscrossing the blue sky like cage bars. I can hear workers' voices on the other side. Some part of the building always seems to be under construction. Hundreds of plastic figurines stare down at me and make the small apartment feel even smaller. They stand on shelves, gather in plastic boxes, and stack in the back room. Little men and little monsters occupy the TV cabinet, the bookshelf, the ottoman, the top of the fridge. A model of Godzilla threatens to tumble down and knock me unconscious. Auntie stares at the TV. A soccer game plays with the volume a little bit above mute. I listen to the bubble of a goldfish tank. "I'm sorry," she breaks the silence. "What would you like to watch? You must be so bored." Her shaking hand reaches for the remote. "No, I'm fine," I say. "Don't worry yourself." I place the remote control in her outstretched fingers anyway. She changes the channel. "What do you think about all this?" Auntie gestures at the figurines. "It's an impressive collection," I reply. "That's not all there is," she says with bitterness in her voice. "He rents 2 storage rooms, too. Get him to keep a few favorites and sell the rest," I suggest. "I'll help." "Ha, like he'll be willing to part with any of them. They're all his favorites." She looks down at her thin, pale hands. "You should be a lot harsher on him," I say. "It's not his fault," she responds. "He's an only child, his parents' only son. He's spoiled and doesn't know how to take care of people or himself. He can't live without me." "Let him take care of you this once. He's a grown man. Put more faith in him." "You don't understand. Your mother's married a reliable man, but me?" Her voice rises as though she can't hear herself. "I've got to take care of him. He just makes me worry about him all the time." "Auntie, all this stressing is not good for you." "Are you hungry?" She acts like she doesn't hear me. "I'll make you something to eat." I stop her from lurching towards the kitchen. "I ate before I got here, Auntie. Don't worry about me." She settles back down and stares at nothing for a while. "I know my life is difficult," she finally says. "I've long accepted that fact. And I'm not just saying it. I've seen many fortune tellers. They say I am destined to lead a man's life. A hard one, full of obstacles." "Fortune tellers," I say. She pays no attention to me. She stares at the floor and looks bitter. "There's one good thing," she continues. "I think I'll die before my husband does." "Don't think like that, Auntie," I say. "No, I can tell. You see, he has a type of face that says he'll die alone. According to Chinese philosophy, it's worse to be the one left behind." "You're right, it is. But you don't know what will happen. Nothing is definite, so don't think about troubling things until you have to." "You don't understand." Her face scrunches up. "What do I work so hard for? I've done so much. Yet this is all it amounts to." Auntie scored top marks in high school. She was an exemplary student, though not without rebellious phases, and went on to a good university. She always seemed to know what she wanted in life, a good marriage and a successful career. A high-level marketing job occupied most of her time. "I know you've worked hard, now you should rest." She looks away and mutters to herself. I stand outside Auntie's front door. Her husband is still out. "Take care of yourself," she says to me. "I should be saying that to you," I say. She smiles thinly, painfully, distantly. "Marry a good man, you hear," she says as I walk down the hall. "Someone you can rely on." "I will, Auntie," I say and step into the elevator. "I definitely will."
That was Emily Mack reading her story, Faces. Our final story, set in Hong Kong, contemplates life and randomness from the youthful viewpoint of 2 young women. Let's listen now as Emily Mack reads her story, Last Stop.
Last Stop by Emily Mack. We race to the station and stumble to a stop as the train leaves without us. We stand up at the yellow line and watch it disappear into the distance. "Shit," Lily says. "Told you we wouldn't make it." "The next one will be along in 5 minutes," I say. "I don't even know why we ran." We stroll over to a bench and sit down. I set my bags, the result of a 4-hour shopping trip, on the floor. Mong Kok, a famed shopping district in Hong Kong, drained my wallet pretty dry. You sure bought a lot of things, Lily says. Planning to run away from home or something? Like I'd survive in this weather. I'd melt. And it's only early June. I look at my cell phone. It's 7 already? I was hoping to avoid rush hour. This is Hong Kong, Lily fans herself. It's always rush hour. Unlike you, I have to ride until the last stop, I say. Then I gotta change trains. I lean my head back and hear the train on the other side of the station arrive. A pre-recorded voice in Cantonese, Mandarin, and English informs the crowd to mind the gap. Machines beep. The click-clack of heels announces the arrival of more passengers at our stop. I dig into one of my bags and hold out a lacy white skirt. Hey, isn't this so cute? Sure it's cute. Like him. He's cute. Lily eyes a man in a suit sauntering down the stairs. Cute, huh? Adorable, I reply, in a serial killer sort of way. She punches my arm. I blow air in her face. She giggles. Don't call my baby a serial killer, Lily cries out. I drag a finger between her eyebrows to give her a confused expression. Then take better care of your baby, I say. He could use a haircut, a shave, a bath, and a less creepy smile. We people watch for a while. You know, Lily says, lounging on the bench, train stations are so symbolic in a way. How deep, I say. I'm serious here. We wait for trains our entire lives, then hop on and travel to some predetermined destination at a scheduled time. It's like we have no control over our destinies. You could avoid getting on the train, I say. More and more people approach the station, signaling the train's imminent arrival. Then you'll never get anywhere. Always stuck in that same place, Lily says. No, you have to get on that train. Any train. Things happen on trains, I say. Like you trip and fall, and somebody helps you up who happens to be your soulmate. Or a crazy guy with a knife happens to get on too, like the other day in Taiwan. Uh-huh, Lily says. And if you miss your train, you have to deal with the shit that happens. We've only waited for 5 minutes, I say. That's not the point. The point is, waiting is boring. She leans her head on my shoulders. The point is, it's so hot I'm going to die if the train doesn't come soon. I peer into the distance. It's here now, I say. Finally, Lily springs to her feet. The train comes to a stop. The doors open. A few people get off. Hundreds swarm in. They press against each other, struggling to find a space they can exist in until they reach their destination. Only some achieve victory. The unlucky ones step back to the platform. Lily's shoulders sag. Let's wait for the next one, okay?
That was Emily Mack reading her story, Last Stop. This concludes Life Rattle number 1354. My name is Lori Callis. I had the pleasure of recording Emily reading her stories. Life Rattle was created by Arnie Ackman and Guy Allen. Be sure to tune in next week for a Life Rattle classic show hosted by Virginia Ashbury.